Hi everybody, it's Special Relation Rory here with a special message for all of you. The programme you are about to hear was recorded on March the 9th, when WrestleMania 36 was still happening in its originally planned form, and most importantly before CV19 took hold to the extent it is doing now. As such, I have taken the decision to remove a discussion the three of us had about the coronavirus, as the situation now is far, far different from what it was then. The WrestleMania discussion does stay intact, as a lot of what we talk about refers to Mania in more general terms as opposed to Mania 36, although we certainly do touch on it. And of course it's very important to note that Callum would get a bit arsy with me if I chopped any chat about his beloved Drew McIntyre. So with all that in mind, sit back and enjoy the latest edition of the Special Relations Podcast here on Place to Be Nation, and please stay safe.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode 5 of the Special Relations Podcast, where tonight we present you some regularly scheduled programming. Shocking, I know, we're as dropped as you are. Tonight we'll give you what we had originally planned to do all the way back in the last decade, and that is to liberally borrow a British radio staple for our own use. But before that, let me introduce you to my comrades in crime. Is that stealing a gimmick? Possibly. Possibly not. Who knows? Anyway, I'm joined by not Daniel Radcliffe, not Wayne Knight, not insert name here. It is Ben Locke.
Hello, Callum. Good evening, Nation. Hope everybody is well.
And the same to you, sir.
Thank you.
And also joining us tonight is our resident Mr. Curmudgeony Pants. That is the man, the myth, the legend, the Rory McNamara.
So, my number 100. Ah, sorry, of course about it. Hi, everybody. About another 10 months to wait until that comes back.
10 months to wait for the 10 months review.
You know, it seemed like such a good idea at the time.
And just to reiterate, in case anyone missed it from the last show, we had fully intended to do that in one sitting.
We really did.
One sitting. Everybody, one.
Yeah. I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could sit for 10 minutes. For 10 minutes, not mind 10 hours.
10 hours.
I would like felt to very special. We felt every inch of it.
We did indeed. Thank you to Mick Price who stuck it out. We reached out on Facebook, stuck up from the bitter beginning to the bitter end. So thank you, sir, in particular, and everybody else who listened to all three episodes. We hope it was wildly edifying listening, if nothing else.
And we won't take offence if you decided to listen to it on double, triple, quadruple time, because my goodness, it was a slog. No, so there's no judging for that in these here None. Parts. So yeah, we've got some regularly scheduled programme, gents. What is this? This is a strange feeling I've got.
Novel,
right now,
novel concept. It feels good.
I know, it's very strange. I wonder if our fan will enjoy our regularly scheduled programming. So, Mr. Locke, what is behind door number one?
Okay, so behind door number one is, because of when the time we are recording, it's not necessarily going to be a WrestleMania preview, but I just want to know, are we excited for WrestleMania this year? Because I don't know what it is. I'm just not looking. Not looking forward is not the right phrase. I've got no anticipation for it. I think that's the way I'll phrase it. There's only two matches that I'm really, really excited about seeing and I want to see. The rest of it's like, Somebody in the chat earlier on said, well, there's 15 to 16 matches. And when you see it written down like that, that is just quite a scary thought.
Yeah.
Last night, I know I'm breaking the fourth wall. Last night was the Elimination Chamber show. So that just gives you a clue about when we were recording. And I literally didn't know a thing about that show. And I people thought I was joking, but no, honest to God, I did not know a thing about it. And because the bar was so low, I actually enjoyed the show last night. But I'd say it was no more than okay to good in places. But I enjoyed it. WrestleMania, I want to be great, and I just don't see it being great.
Just carry on, Woody.
Yeah, if you don't mind me just to interrogate you a bit further here, Mr. Benjamin. I know you are our super sleuth himself, but a bit of a taste of your own medicine.
Yes.
Is it the current nature of the card as it stands as we're recording this that's causing you to be so diffident towards it? Is it kind of WrestleMania just feels a bit like another show these days? What particularly is it, do you think? And we can have a discussion around it.
I think it's a bit of both, if I'm honest. Like, I want to enjoy it. I think it doesn't help you two. So obviously here in the UK, our WWE coverage has moved in the new year. I have not got BT Sports once it's on now, so I've not watched anything. And that might be a part of it too. I am much more excited for TakeOver than I am for WrestleMania, and that should not be the case.
Well, not for most people.
But you know what I mean? I mean, I admit, because I am not watching anything at the moment, I am not helping myself. I will freely admit that.
Isn't Mania something that you should just be able to dip into and look forward to, even if you weren't watching the weekly television? I think that's where you're coming from, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
That's very fair. That's very fair.
There's only the two matches that I'm looking forward to, and I will name them now because I kind of know where I think Callum's going to be going. Those two matches are Rhea Ripley and Charlotte and Edge and Orton. They're the only two matches I am looking forward to. I will watch everything else. I'm not going to be one of these people, I'm going to walk out the room and I'm not going to watch anything. No. But if you're talking about what I want to see, it's those two matches. Everything else is kind of peripheral at the minute. That might change.
This is going to be the first Mania I'm actually going to watch as live in its entirety from start to finish since WrestleMania 31. Which I did watch live at the time brand new Kindle just to date everything. I've still got it. I never use it anymore though. Kindles
are great.
This one was Kindle Fire. This was 2015. Where we ever it's it's just getting a bit of a nostalgia fest, this, isn't it? Yes, I watched it. WrestleMania 31 was the last one I watched. I will be watching this one live. I will not be staying up to watch it. I'm not a masochist, but I will be watching it throughout the day. I booked Monday off, so I will be watching it from start to finish, spoiler-free, and then no doubt voicing my disapproval via the usual channels a few hours later. What I will just say about this, I do want to put this on record, and it's yet another Rory anti-fan rant coming up again. You can certainly watch. One thing I cannot abide, I entirely understand and indeed endorse the comments made by Mr. Mock there and then this year's WrestleMania, but I cannot and will not abide those word removed that you constantly see below the line saying things like, and I quote, "It doesn't feel like Mania season." Look, it hasn't felt like Mania season since you were 13. There's no such thing as a build up to Mania season. It never has been Christmas Eve. Okay, that is, in all fairness, that is a criticism used by, let's say fans who have an, let's just say they've got an agenda, a bias, if you will, towards an upstart organization, a t-shirt. No.
You know what those comments sound like to me, Rory? They sound like pure dynamite.
I'm just waiting for Dido to provide the backing track for him.
Not going to happen with me in charge of the audio.
Take from that what you will.
I think I just...
Sorry, Carl. I know you haven't even said anything yet. For me, it's a bit apathy reigns at the moment.
I understand that. Yeah, but with good reason. It's going to be a one hell of a slog to get through it. But again, we all know the criticism of the show's too long, but that's part of the thing these days.
And it's a network era, isn't it? It's a network era at the moment.
Era is what we are in. But yes. I, by all means, criticise it. I think there's a lot to criticise, but don't use the easy line of something that never existed in the first place anyway. But I'm not enthused by it, let's say that. Certainly not excited or even enthused or not even particularly interested. It's, I think as a wrestling fan, it's one of those things you almost feel like you've got to do every year. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It almost feels dutiful. And it should feel like something you are.
It's a bit like going for a family dinner, isn't it? Sometimes you just don't want to go, but it'll be all right once you get there.
Get it over and done with. Anyway, that's enough of us cynics. Go on in.
Go on in. You're Mr. Positivity.
I can't think why you're going to tell us.
I was thinking this morning that it's akin to like the FA Cup final or the Super Bowl for our friends across the pond, the Grand National. It's one of these events. It comes once a year. You will watch it because it's something you've always done.
Yep.
Sometimes it will be like, so I'll watch WrestleMania this year at some point. This year, I think I'm going to make a point and get out to watch it for obvious reasons. but the last time I stayed up to watch a WrestleMania was 33, the one in Orlando. And it was just, so it finished at 6 o'clock in the morning and just like, right, this doesn't need to, it felt, after the Hardys came back and then Brock Goldberg, it felt like a chore to watch it.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't feel like a chore. Last year at 34, I watched it across three sittings on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, me
last
too. Year, exactly
the same. Last year, I watched the pre-show and the start before I went to bed. And then I watched everything else that I needed to. I watched Kofi and Brian and I watched the main event. That's all. I've not seen anything else of it.
And this year, it's going to be even more of a chore to watch if you choose to watch everything. Because the Hall of Fame's on the Thursday night.
Yes.
SmackDown's on the Friday. Then you've got TakeOver. Then you've got Mania. And Mania's going to be 7 hours, eight. It could even be 8 hours.
But
if you count the pre-show.
That's the one good thing about us being 5 hours ahead, though. Because in years gone by, I have watched everything a day after to prepare myself for the thing that's coming up tonight.
So I'd
watch the Hall of Fame the Saturday morning, the TakeOver on the Sunday morning, and then Mania on the Sunday night.
Sometimes
it is feeling a bit laborious. Now, this year, obviously, I've got a bit of a vested interest. a bit of a vested interest because Edge is my favourite wrestler ever and he's going to face right now. I'm going to say it's going to happen. I would want to be there. I'm excited because I want to be. I think we're probably going to go to the pub to watch it again. And I want to be in that crowd to see Drew McIntyre win the big one. That's me assuming that he's going to win the big one and they don't get cold feet, as tends to happen. But if it was to happen, it's one of these things that you never quite know, but I'll kick myself if it happens and I wasn't there. So that's why I'm getting excited about it. And you'll get... things will get added to it that will pique your interest. So Goldberg Roman Reigns, right? When you hear that Goldberg might be beating the Fiend, you're like, that's a bit shit. But see, when you think about it, the dust settles, it goes Goldberg against Roman Reigns. These guys are going to go out, do what they did for Brock, 5-10 minutes, let them beat lumps out of each other, and you'll have Roman win at the end of the day. You've got the redemption story for Roman after his illness, coming back, taking a year to win the big one. Obviously, he had a marquee match last year with my main man, Drew. but just let them go out and do what they do best. And that will probably be one of the better matches of the night. And then you've got the intrigue of Orton against Edge. So there is stuff that is there that I am interested in. But you need another match for that to be a quarter of the potential card. So you're on three out of 16. That's not a good rate of return for stuff that should get you excited.
I'm personally not a fan of this "we've got to get everybody on the card" thing. That show, I'll give you an example. That show last night, and I'm going to use the word last night, the Elimination Chamber show, there was no Fiend, there was no Cena, there was no Reigns, there was no Goldberg, there was no Rhea, there was no Charlotte, but it was still a good watch. You don't need everybody to be on every show. That's where people get played out. That's where, you know, you're seeing everybody week in, week out. That's where people get sick and tired of folk.
It's all right to try to shoehorn everyone into the card if there's a point to it.
Yeah.
So you have WrestleMania 5 and WrestleMania 6. They both had about 15 matches on the card, but at least every match had some form of storyline going into it. They had at least something you could buy into. To having 30 people in a main event in a battle royal.
Yeah.
When last year they had 30 guys in a battle royal, and the whole thing was you knew it was going to come down to Braun and the two guys from Saturday Night Live. So you're just okay. Fair enough. These guys deserve to get a payday. All the power to them. I'm not begrudging anyone earning a bit of cash, but
yeah. So from the nodq.com website, this is a link JT posted earlier on. Let me read the card out for you. That might help a bit. The projected card: Lesnar, McIntyre, Goldberg, Reigns, Lynch, Baszler, Ripley, Charlotte, Wyatt, Cena, Taker, Styles, Edge, Orton, Owens, Rollins, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, the Women's Battle Royal. But with the Women's Battle Royal, you're going to have as well a Women's Tag Team title match between the Warriors, Bliss and Cross, and Natalya and Beth. The SmackDown Women's title is also going to be on the line. All the women are going to be in them three matches. How are you going to have... What might have the Women's Battle Royal? The SmackDown titles. Miz and Morrison versus TBA. The Raw Tag titles, the Street Profits versus TBA, US title, Andrade versus TBA, IC title, Zayn versus TBA.
TBA's been a busy guy, then.
TBA has been a very, very busy night.
I wonder if he's related to a trialist.
I'm more of a special guest man myself.
But you know the point I'm trying to make? That just seems... There's having your cake and eating it, and then there's eating the whole bloody thing.
And the table. It's just deathless, isn't it? That is just... well done, Ben, for even managing to get through.
You
did get through all of that, didn't you? You didn't miss anything else.
Yes, I did not miss one thing out.
Yeah, that's ludicrous. I don't think anybody can... There's just nothing to latch on to there. That's my problem with it. It's just a bunch of stuff.
It's literally... And I'm not it's one little, of these people... It's who, little things like five title matches, four of which TBA, one of which you just don't give a shit about anybody who's in that match. I'm talking about the women's match, Catelyn. I'm not talking about Drew here, by the way. I'm talking about their bottom matches.
Just as well.
But you know what I'm saying, though? And give these matches a better build. I mean, that might be coming. We might, you know, obviously we're recording this before time, so this might be coming. But at the moment,
And you know that either the IC title or the US title, there's a very good chance that'll be a multi-man ladder match.
Yeah.
As they have tended to do for the last... I don't think they did it last year, but then I can't remember because I didn't watch most of the last year.
The Intercontinental title match based on the Elimination Chamber will be Zayn versus Strowman. I've got no doubt about that. But
we saw that a few... See what I mean? It's just... I'll repeat, it's just stuff. So little actually means anything. It's just stuff. That's frustrating. Hello?
It's stuff for the sake of stuff. It's just filling time, and you don't need just to fill time at Mania.
I'd be perfectly okay with Mania going... Again, I don't want to keep banging on about the length, because it's factored in these days. It's part of it. But I just look... 3:40, 3:45. Elimination Chamber was 3:40.
Yeah, and that was only six matches.
Mm-hmm.
Set of seven matches, but you get my point.
And a B pay-per-view. Yeah, that's, but that's a different issue. It is very easy to talk about the length of the shows, and it's not the only criticism. They've got the room now to show all that content, so I understand it. I get it. But I do think, especially with something like Mania 5 hours long, it's asking a lot of your audience.
Yeah.
But they don't really care what the answer is, because they've already got your flipping money.
In this era where we only pay £10 a month for the show, should we be complaining this much? Well, I think we should, but in their view, we won't, because like Rory says, they've already got our cash.
I'm not one of these people who says that every single old WrestleMania was full of epoch-making, world-changing feud-based matches up and down. Like, no, of course it wasn't. You know, as Callum mentioned, look at some of the matches for 5 and 6, for goodness sake, and 7, which at the time of recording, I'm working my way through now. But you still got that sense of importance, even if it was implied or it was part of it. It didn't need to be forced upon you. All this stuff, and it's been discussed a lot over the years. I'm not the first person to bring this up, but the surfeit of WrestleMania moments for the sake of it. We're all aware of that listening to this program. It does get very wearying. Not everyone can have or should have a WrestleMania moment. Now, much like respect, I thought those things were earned, not given, but there you go.
It's a company built on moments, not on, what it should be built on.
Then, now, forever, if you will.
Yes.
This may be a debate for another day. I think it probably will be a debate for another day. But because this could be another rabbit hole that we go down. But see, when they first did the second brand split, if that makes sense. So the 2016 brand split, and they were having the shows for each show. The pay-per-views for each show, sorry.
Yes.
That model could have worked, and I was in favour of it. But if it was like a 2-hour in your house special, or 2.5 hours, because then see when it comes to WrestleMania and it's 5-6 hours long, it sticks out like a sore thumb because it's a spectacle, it's a festival. Make your big four 4 hours in WrestleMania 5 or 6. It's because that is what you built to. See, if Elimination Chamber's 3.5 hours long and then WrestleMania is 5 hours long, it's like, oh, well, they're all long.
They didn't just do that in 2016. They did, it worked fine in 2002, 2003.
It worked even better then, because you had instead of having two shows a month, you had one show a month. So it was one show every other month for the brand. So you had, and we talked a lot about the SmackDown 6 on the mega show, the mega three shows that we did. Those guys were putting out excellent. You had TV episodes that were going to go up, essentially going to go up against a Raw pay-per-view, and they were banging out excellent matches. But now you've got criticism from AJ Styles phoning it in from the mouth breathers on the Observer Net thing, who can't see anything out with fucking Tokyo. And they're saying, this is one of the best guys in the world, and he's phoning it in against Aleister Black, who, in his own right, is one of the best in the world. He's superb. So it's they've created a monster in it almost. And they're now in a very, very difficult, but they might find it very, very difficult to come back from.
Oh, the genie's never going back in the bottle. Even if by this time next year, we're talking about a very different model for what we used to call pay-per-views. It's never going to change. WrestleMania is not going back to 2 hours, 45 minutes.
Yeah. No. They can't put the toothpaste back in the bottle now.
Impossible. It's
even in terms of the whole getting the pay-per-views on the network or off the network, they're going to have to offer something for your money.
You do have to lump it. And yes, you can watch things in installments, as Callum and I did last year. You can pick and choose. Of course you can. But you shouldn't have to do that.
No.
The first WrestleMania that I ever saw was 17. And I could watch, that was about 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
I could watch that in one sitting over and over and over again, because it went by in a flash.
That's the thing, isn't it? You've got the length, but you've got the content as well.
Then you get stuff like WrestleMania 32, which is what, 5 hours long, and it felt like an eternity.
Oh, is 32 still going on?
I think so. The Rock's just came out for another promo. let his name on fire.
This fucking
flame
thrower.
And has taken somebody else. Six.
So, I just want to say in closing, or, you know, I'll try and finish it off as best I can. I'm going to watch it. I'm not saying I'm not going to watch it, but am I excited for it? No. I think that's where I stand at the moment. I'm a wrestling fan. It's my civil duty to watch it. I'm more feeling obligated to watch it than I want to watch it.
And I suppose as the journalists that we are doing our job, are we not, everybody?
Journalists. Bloody hell.
Is that journalists, like Bobby Heenan was a broadcast journalist?
Or are we just ham and eggers ourselves, I wonder?
Yes. Oh, no, we're broadcast journalists. It's fine. We
will watch all of WrestleMania, and we will watch it for you, dear listener,
yes,
as you know, in future episodes. Callum, I'm going to finish this one up by asking you two very quick fire questions.
Uh-huh.
Does your boy go on last at WrestleMania?
I'm just trying to think of everything else. Yes, he does.
And is the final shot of WrestleMania 36 the big fella himself standing tall, belt in hand?
Yes.
Oh, he's very optimistic.
If it goes the way that it's been going, from what I've seen, if it goes on last, he's winning.
Yes.
Because the big triumphant shot over Brock.
Who was it who said that Brock is basically the final boss in the game? Somebody said it in the chat the other day. So who is Brock is basically like your final boss in the game, and it's quite a good analogy actually.
I think you'll find that was me actually.
Was it you, Calvert? Or was it you, Rory? Sorry.
It was me. Yeah, it was me.
Very good work, Mr. McNamara. Very good.
And the thing about Brock, guys, I've seen some stuff on the tweets. He is doing his damnedest to make sure that Drew looks good. And fair play to him. Everyone gives him stick for being unprofessional and just coming in, doing 30 seconds here or there. And do you know what? That's what he's been asked to do. If they want to pay, if somebody asked you to work for 7 seconds every 3 months and they'll pay you $3 million a year or whatever he's getting paid to do it, are you going to turn that down? Absolutely not. But see when it's now coming to the point where he's going to need to give back to somebody. It looks as if he's going to do it.
And it's that thing as well where one of your best mates is in charge, so you want to help him out as much as you can as well.
Yeah. So, yes. So
time and lots of time it will be. Will tell.
Eventually.
And if it does happen, I will tell you over and over and over again.
That's a cheap plug for the next episode, kids.
wonderful. So yeah, that was an interesting insight into where we are for Mania this year.
Yes.
So I believe this is the are we on now to the random portion of the of the show?
The palate cleaning sorbet.
Yes. So this was my choice. I'm just looking it up now. Gentlemen, do you remember the wild rumour going around that Vince McMahon was going to buy Newcastle United?
Yes.
So, it looks as if it is from, so October 2017, when Mike Ashley was desperate to sell Newcastle, Vince McMahon was allegedly going to be as part of a consortium to buy Newcastle. Obviously wanted to get back into football, and you know, somebody pointed them in this direction that ended up going back into the XFL. So I thought it would be a good idea, or maybe a bad idea in retrospect, to try and make up a football team based on WWE wrestlers. So where our favourite wrestlers would go in a football team. So what formation do you want to play, guys? That's the main thing, and they'll need to try. Are we going for a traditional 4-4-2? Are we going to play a false number nine?
Oh, just to baffle our listeners still further, it's as if 4-4-2 isn't going to. But let's try and keep it as simple as we possibly can. 4-4-2, I think. The basic, good old meat and potatoes British formation. We could have gone for the WM, but we're not going to do that.
So that's a goalkeeper, four defenders, four midfielders, two strikers, for those who don't know.
Fucking false.
And
who's going to be our number 10?
Oh, who's going to be our rocking midfielder number 4?
Oh, I've already got him. That's my one I'm bringing to the party, my Claude McAlealy role.
Oh, there's that. See, I was talking this morning. I woke up this morning. I'm carrying a bit of an injury from football last night, and I was saying, oh, I was excellent. I was in Claude McAlealy in his prime.
That's the only one I've actually thought of in advance. I might.
What did that player Claude McAlealy was?
He was. He really was.
So, but we can also, I was going to say we could pick a manager. I'm just going to throw out my choice for a manager, Bobby Heenan.
Works for me.
I take it we're talking alive or dead here then. I was unaware of that, so that opens things up a bit. Of course.
Yeah, are we saying all time or just current day?
Well, we're a bit screwed if it's current day, aren't we?
In case our manager's no longer with us, God rest his soul. Well, if you want to keep it, well, it's up to you. If you want to keep it current, I'll vote Paul Heyman to be the manager.
Yeah, we go with Heyman.
Hair dryer treatment.
I can see him being a Roy Keane-esque.
You can't. Yeah, I cannot imagine Paul Heyman ever tucks into many. Well, often, no, never tucks into prawn sandwiches. So yeah. No.
Thanks.
I feel sorry. All these fucking references we're dropping. Sorry, everybody. I'm sorry. But, you know,
make
Wikipedia
Vassar
will be
manager.
Your friend for the next few weeks.
Heyman is our manager. Let's go with that. Heyman is our manager.
Okay. Right. So how do you want to do it? Do you want to start from the back and work our way forward?
Yeah, let's do that.
Any choice of a goalkeeper, gentlemen? I've got one potential idea.
Oh, Ricochet.
Ooh, yeah.
I've got Ricochet elsewhere.
Well, okay. I think of Ricochet in the Bruce Grobbelaar mold. Complete with the handball.
And the match fixing.
Allegedly.
Do you know who I think would be really good because he's good with his kicks? Thinking about it. Mm. Alistair Black.
Well, I would just love to see him punt a ball with a black mass.
That's what I'm thinking.
You want somebody who's physically imposing, but can also, like in modern day football, you want them who's a bit agile as well. I was thinking Keith Lee.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, you mean you're talking like sort of Kevin Pressman type here?
We are.
If there was one person I didn't think you were going to get brought up in this section, it's Kevin Pressman.
That's how we do it.
I'm quite happy with Keith Lee. I'm quite happy with that.
I think it's got to be because it's probably the most obscure reference I will ever make on these programmes, and I feel like that is going to cover a lot of ground. Keith Lee is.
Oh dear. Right, so I'll slot a goalkeeper in here, Keith Lee. Okay, right, so we're just picking four defenders. Are we going to go into the intricacies of playing like a left-footed player at left-footed left-sided centre-back?
I don't think we need to go that intricate, but we do need to go sort of full back to a quite quick and nippy. You can, you know, you can run because you're going to cover a lot of ground as a full-back. So
you do.
I would probably put Buddy Murphy as one of my full-backs.
Yeah. But
that's a good shout. I'm happy with that one. Other fullbacks. See, Ricochet could probably do that as well. But I had him penciled in for another position.
How about Finn?
Think he's going to be his feet as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, he's a Spurs supporter, so I don't know.
Are we going to allow allegiances to cloud our judgment, Callum? Really?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Yeah, we could put Finn it. We could put Finn. Finn could obviously play the Steve Staunton role. He's Irish. Oh, and Buddy Murphy. Who was the absolute nutter that played for Manchester City?
Ben Thatcher.
No, he's Australian. Oh, I've got a better one. He can be Tony Vidmar.
Oh, wow, that's the reference.
Not Tony Vidmar. Kevin Muscat. That's who I'm thinking of. Absolute lunatic.
Who's the Australian who played for City? Who's that?
Danny Teato.
Danny Teato. Oh,
we had Danny Teato.
What was that like?
He was all right. We got relegated. That wasn't his fault.
That's just been a small aside. But you also managed to get relegated with Shaqiri and Bojan and your team.
That is true. You're writing all these down.
I'm writing all this down. So far we've got Keith Lee, Buddy Murphy, and Finn Balor.
Yeah. So centre backs, here's a Britishism. We need a Brit shit house and a defender who can actually pass the ball. So again, one who's good with his feet and one who necessarily is.
Big Show, I would say, was probably a brick shit house.
Oh, no, a bit too immobile for me.
Larry Lloyd. Move over, Kevin Pressman.
Larry Lloyd.
That you've lost me on that one.
1979 call.
That's right. I was in the Forest European Cup winning team and Liverpool before that.
Yes.
Oh, so would they have played with Stevie Nicol?
Sorry, Stevie.
How about somebody like Dominic Dijakovic?
Is he your ball playing centre back, or is he your?
He'd be my ball playing centre back. Who could actually, you know, put himself about a bit.
I can, from the little I've seen of him, he does put himself about quite good for a big man. But will he get on with Keith Lee at the back though? I mean,
I think they'll be fine. How about is the other centre half Braun Strowman?
Yeah, I was thinking Braun. Yeah. He's a real reducer, if you will.
Yes.
He'd be your Razor Ruddock.
You know, it's usually me who are making all the random British references that it's been shared out tonight. I'm liking this.
Oh, but when it comes to the old round ball game, I can give you obscure references with the best of them. Many an hour has been sunk onto Championship Manager.
Oh yes.
Oh, there's a game.
So, central midfield, we do now?
Yep.
Central midfield, this is my one must-have pick. So you need your, to quote someone, you need that water carrier, don't you, to do that Deschamps Mekalele role, the utility man, if you will. Mm-hmm. He could go back, he could go to the back if anybody gets injured. He could probably play up front. My central midfield pick is Cesaro.
Oh, I like that one. I like that one.
You know, a master of all. Well, he could do all roles. Not necessarily a master of all of them, but he could do all roles on the team.
Wow.
He's a bit more like your Milner.
He is a bit more like Milner. Yeah.
I was thinking more Johan Naiskins. It's a great pick.
Thank you. I'm out now.
So who's going to be our admittedly quite good Chelsea team? They had Makaleli doing all the donkey work. Well, they had Frank Lampard.
It was Lampard, wasn't it? So
yeah. So who's going to be our Frank Lampard then? So somebody who's
box to box.
Whoa. Who's going to do all that running?
Can finish.
Oh, well, yeah, could finish as well. He had, I was going to say Johnny Gargano, but he never wins.
So, you know, it's all about finishing, or rather not. There's the one for the day.
Steady on. How about Pete Dunne? Or is he not?
No, I could see Pete Dunne in that role, yeah.
He might not
give you much in the air, though.
No, that's true.
Pete Dunne maybe up front.
Well, he would certainly fit in with what I was going for up front.
Like the target man role. He could definitely hold that ball up.
Well, I'll just give away what I was thinking. I was thinking more. I'm quite a sucker for the old little and large partnerships. You've got the big guy getting up, winning the headers, knocking the ball down to the wee guy. So he could easily be the wee guy running onto like the one that instantly came to mind was Peter Crouch and Jermaine Defoe.
Great partnership, yes.
Yeah. So you had Crouchy, who had the strange phenomenon of being shorter when he jumped somehow, but was quite good in the air, and he had Defoe, who was rapid, running onto him. So you could have Pete Dunne up there. That was where I was going to put Ricochet, but I can see his fitting Ricochet in somewhere else to put Dunne up front if you had to have Dunne.
Ricochet would be one of your pacey wingers, surely.
He'd definitely cut in on his other foot as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll put Ricochet. We can put Ricochet on the wing then.
Second wide right.
I'm quite happy with that.
How about for the central midfielder, Seth, as a finisher, box to box? You know he'd be all over it. We'd have to cut his media interviews. He'd have to stay quiet. But you know, that's fine.
Oh, but you know, well, I suppose he doesn't need to tackle, does he? Cesaro would be doing a tackle. I'm just afraid
exactly.
He'd shy out of a tackle.
Exactly.
Because you know what it was like? I mean, a guy comes up to him wearing a mask, he's crying in the corner. I mean, do we want him to go missing in the middle of a big game?
Cesaro does all the dirty work and then he gets all the glory.
Fair enough.
Do we really want Seth Rollins there swanning around like he's, you know, 1972 Rodney Marsh? Son of the city.
Dear me.
Put Seth in there. Let's do it.
Have we got as long as we don't I'm just writing down Rodney Marsh. So our
So we've got one wing left. If we have one wing, we need the other one.
On the left. Oh, okay.
Somebody that's...
Who's on the left in pro wrestling? Okay, this ain't going to take us very long. A little bit of politics there.
I was going to say one of the Mexican lads, but that's not going to work.
If Ricochet's going to bring the pace, we need somebody tricksy on the left-hand side a bit.
Mm.
Like sort of Jimmy Johnston type. Not Jim Johnston.
goodness. Right, this is a struggle. There's more to picking a well-balanced football team than people think. It's not just about picking the best 11 players you've got. They've got to be a team.
Old Ramsey, old Jack Charlton in 1966.
Look at the Nottingham Forest team that you mentioned earlier on, Rory.
Absolutely.
How about Shorty fucking G, to quote Calm?
No. Good pick. No, I think Gable, if we're allowed to call him that. Yes.
I think we are.
He would be more of your...
Now, he would be a false number 9 or a false 10.
No, but I'm thinking he could be a David Beckham type, because Beckham was never flashy. He couldn't beat a guy.
True.
He never did tricks, but my God, was he good at what he did?
Yeah.
So
let's go with that.
I'm liking that one.
So we've got Pete Dunne and somebody else.
So my original strike partnership was going to be Ricochet and Roman Reigns. because Roman's quite agile for a big man.
I think I like Reigns.
I like Reigns.
Plus the fact you've got to have Roman in there these days, have you not?
In that main event, top striker slot.
And he'd be team captain as well. They say the main striker a team captain, but hey, if we're going to make an exception for anybody.
It worked well enough for Alan Shearer, despite winning nothing. But Ronaldo is captain for Portugal, and they've done quite well. So I can see that. I can see that working.
So who's he up the front with? Pete Dunne, yeah?
Yeah.
So Roman.
Two men who've probably never spoken in their life.
So they are our Toshak and Keegan. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
The references are...
They're getting more and more obscure.
People thought they were telepathic, you know.
So Callum, read off Special Relations FC.
So yes, SRFC. In goals, we've got Keith Lee. Defence, we've got Buddy Murphy, Dominic Dijakovic, Braun Strowman and Finn Balor. Midfield, we've got Ricochet, Cesaro, Seth Rollins and Chad Gable, because I refuse to call him or anything else. And up front, the little large partnership of Pete Dunne and your team captain, Roman Reigns.
Formidable.
I like that. I think we've done quite well.
Formidable.
I like our wing backs.
Good team. That is a good team.
I think we've picked a belter there.
Front to back, that's pretty special.
Well, I think it is. Look at this spine. We've got a formidable spine. You've got Roman, you've got Cesaro, you've got Braun, and you've got Keith Lee in the back.
God, it's all there, isn't it?
That's
Champions League at least.
I'm thinking so. Move out the way. If teams like Salzburg can get in the Champions League based on the fact that he has one good player. Right? To be fair, he is a very good player. This team could beat Salzburg. Have you seen the thing, again, a tangent, that Borussia Dortmund's front three players, after they've signed Haaland, were all born in England? Jadon Sancho was born in London. Haaland was born in Leeds, obviously, because when his dad played for Leeds United. And the other one is Claudio Reyna's son. So he was born in Sunderland.
I suppose so.
Got Claudio Reyna, what a player he was. Underappreciated.
I feel old now, you're bringing him up. His son's playing for Dortmund, fucking hell.
I remember when Claudio Reyna first signed for Rangers. I remember thinking they've signed this American international, going, Americans don't play football. And Claudio Reyna comes in and he was, super. It didn't last very long at Rangers, I don't think. He was a super player.
It's kind of a bit worrying. One of our best players at the moment is Kevin Campbell's son. That's like, I'm officially hitting middle age now. I am watching and enjoying Kevin Campbell's son play football.
Kevin Campbell single-handedly saved Everton from relegation in 1999. Yeah. Him and Big Dunk.
Big Dunk.
Big Dunk.
There you go. Right. So next episode, how do we put football nutters into so we'll just, yeah. So we'll do the opposite. We'll do the football nutter Royal Rumble. So you've got Big Dunk. You've got Stuart Pearce.
Dunk's going all the way.
Dunk's going from one all the way through.
Rooney will get in thinking he can do something, and then he'll get squashed in like 30 seconds.
We'll put Jimmy Bullard in just so he can go up to. do you not remember? Do you not remember the video of him? He goes up to Duncan Ferguson. Duncan Ferguson tries to choke him, and he's just sitting. He's just like, oh god.
He's like, oh, it's brilliant. I'll track it down for you. So, yes, there you go. So, next time, Joey the football Barton, hooligan Joey, Royal Rumble.
Joey Barton will try and turn up, try and quote some, like, you know, philosophy, and Big Doug will just have to fuck off and just lamp him one.
I think I'm both of that.
Joey Barton, yeah, I'm going to take Scottish football by storm. He lasted 6 games and was rubbish and all of them. Scottish football, I mean, Scottish football is not difficult to boss. I've seen some rotten players play really well up here.
Oh, next episode, well played.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it has to happen. Has to happen. Although we've just booked to finish as well, so big dunk all the way. Alrighty, so happy with that, guys.
Yes. Yes.
Happy with that. So shall we depart for a break?
Two down, two to go. Let's do it.
Alrighty, so we will be back the other side of these messages. Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the second half of episode 5 of the Special Relations Podcast. Hope you enjoyed our tangents in the first half. Be rest assured there is more of that to come over the coming episodes, if we ever get another episode after that announcement. So we hope you're enjoying the show so far, now that we have got a regular scheduled programming. And we also want to let you know of the other shows that you can enjoy very much on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. So we have plenty of great content right here for you on the wrestling feed where we are just now. We've got the Place to Be podcast, the mothership of Place to Be Nation, where co-hosts JT Rizzero and Scott Criscoll will take you chronologically through the history of WWE. PTBN's main event with host Scott Criscoll, Nate Milton and Steve Willey breaking down all of the current events in the world of wrestling. Row 1 Seat 1, which is an interesting look at the world of small town wrestling and beyond, with host Ben Zanny welcoming in a variety of guests every other week. Talking WCW heads to Centre Stage Theatre, where Tim Capel, Jennifer Smith and Greg Phillips pay tribute to the legendary promotion from the Dirty South. Body Pressure Luck is a brand new wrestling game show hosted by JT Rizzero and Jordan Duncan. With This Ring, in which husband and wife Ryan and Cindy Everett discuss specific matches and their respective fandoms. You Don't Know Billy Jack, where Drew Wardlaw and his friend Jordan watch and discuss some of the greatest pro wrestling matches of all time through the eyes of a non-wrestling fan in the search of a universal connection in pro wrestling storytelling. Plus, monthly pay-per-view reaction shows and semi-regular shows such as Jenny and the Gems, PTB NXT, Adam's Division, Special Relations and more. Also be sure to check out the PTBN Pop feed, littered with great content offering tremendous shows like The Hard Travelling Fanboys, The Year in Pop, Laugh in Theatre, DC4U, Marvel Age, the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast, sorry about that there, and so much more. Subscribe today. And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Driving, Telling Stories, MCU, Journey Through Infinity, and more. And also check out the brand new North-South Connection, brought to you by JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell. It is the new home for Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jeff Lynn's Wrestling, and more. And you know we do love a stretch project. Given the fact that it took us 10 hours to get through the last one, we have officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do research, promote matches and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Be sure not to forget to check out placemination.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports and pop culture, including Trent SmackDown Fox Report, This Week in WWE by John Crow, Polly's Perspective and our very own Ben's popular opinion, unpopular opinion, sorry. Or popular, depending on what side of the fence you come down on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had a very popular, unpopular opinion.
It did go very well, actually.
Yeah. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's weekly walk around the web. And if you're doing shopping over at Amazon.com, please be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right-hand side of PlayStation homepage, or use PlayStation.com/Amazon. It will take you right to the Amazon homepage, and it helps out PTBN at no cost to you. So, I think we'll go back to our booker to tell us what's happening next.
Okay, so our next segment is something we are going to call our favourite things. So, we'll come up with a category, and in that category, we're allowed one item that, you know, is our favourite thing in that item. There'll be some honourable mentions on the way, because, as you know, we love a tangent on this show. And for our first, our favourite thing, I will hand over to Mr. Rory McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Nock. Yes, so I was given the honour of choosing my favourite thing, both honour and favourite, of course, coming with a healthy surfeit of the letter U in both cases. I don't make the rules. So I chose. Now, just to give you a little tap on the shoulder, a little advance notice of something you might be hearing on Place to Be Nation again in a few weeks' time. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Remember I told you. I have chosen favourite, drumroll sound, DVD sets. Yes, DVDs. Remember them, because DVD stands for, Callum.
Oh, a digital versatile disc.
There he is, absolutely. Well, inspired by the mention of those three letters many occasions during our top 100 over the last three shows, and therefore 10 hours of listening time.
And You're never going to let us forget that, are you?
Absolutely not. And last week I was just rooting through, because this house is a bit of a tip, it must be said. Somebody in this house has told me that on more than one occasion. It's just hard to get through. I went through the big DVD bag, yes, bag the other day, pulled one out to watch randomly, and it was Survivor Series 2005, for those of you keeping score. But it got me thinking, what are some of my favourite DVD sets, and are we neglecting them these days when we have the network and various other means at our fingertips? And I was thinking it, certainly over here in this country, gents, so by all means chip in on this one, because we didn't get access to, in the pre-network days, certainly not legally anyway, the likes of WWE 24/7, Classics on Demand.
No.
We didn't get them properly anyway. No. So for us, DVDs were our only real link to the past, for those of us who had long since got rid of our VCR players, unless you watched 10 a.m. every Sunday morning over WWE Vintage Collection, as presented by the late, great Gene Okerlund. So those DVDs were something to really cling on to for documentaries and a great match selection. And I still dig them out from time to time, because as easy as it is with the network these days, it is good just to sit down in your favourite easy chair, as they say elsewhere, for 6 or 7 hours, hit the play button, and only get up when you need to put in discs 2 or 3, which is a bit of a clue there for my personal choice of favourite DVD collection put out by WWE, and that is Bret Hart, The Best There Is, The Best There Was, The Best There Ever Will Be, which arrived for us in the summer of 2005. Now, I'm sure you know the story, but just the potted history for you. So it goes that after the success, it says here, of the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior set, that Vince wanted to do something similar to his old compadre, Mr. Bret Hart, a DVD by the name of Screwed, The Bret Hart Story. By some accounts, they had already filmed some less than favourable vignettes and talking heads until Bret got wind of it and thought, hey, he didn't want his legacy tarnished in that way. And he agreed, after those 8 years that we certainly do not need to go in again now, to, if not bury the hatchet, at least, you know, the way my cat buries stuff, you know, so it's still poking up a little bit. The smell is still there, but the effort was there as well. That kind of thing. And we all know the famous picture of Bret and Vince there in the studio with gun placed handily out of shot. Now, I am one of those people. I am one of those people who thinks that the whole Screwed the Bret Hart story is a bit of a story. And it was a bit of bait to try to get Bret on side. I don't think they really wanted to make that DVD, as it is Bret bit, and we got what we got, which was a tremendous documentary. Now, Bret Hart says himself that he wished the documentary could have been a bit longer, a man after our own heart there. But I think at 2.5 hours, it covers the perfect amount of ground between a novice who's new to the great man or somebody who thinks they really do know it all. Helped, I think, especially in the first half an hour with the truckload of footage from Stampede Wrestling, which you must remember back in 2005, we weren't seeing that for love nor money, but here at least for the latter, we managed to get it. Bret is candid, he's honest, he's Bret in many ways, as I'm sure Callum will come to when we talked about a particular section of this DVD earlier. I will let Callum just bring that up for me. But with Bret, that's, as they say, that is grandfather in. Bret is going to praise himself. Some might say he's entitled to do so. I would be one of those people. But you're going to get a bit much of that. But it's part of the asking price, is it not? Everything you would expect to be touched on, certainly as far as the WWF, is, it's Pride at winning his first WWF title, the matches with Owen, and of course the dreadful events of May 1999. I will just mention, though, for those of you who want a warts and all rundown of what we now know as the Montreal Screwjob, this DVD probably is not the one for you. Because if you watch for that whole 5-minute section, it is not what actually happened is not drawn attention to. Nobody says, there's no talking head, like you don't get Anor coming up or saying, oh yeah, Bret was leaving in a couple of, you know, nothing like that. There's no context or anything except for Bret rather cryptically going on about how he was doing it for the boys in the back. If you were a complete novice to this DVD, you would have no idea what he's going on about, and you probably wouldn't really want to ask. But there are other, let's face it, who doesn't know all those stories these days? So that's a minor complaint. The match selection on discs 2 or 3 was one of Bret's own, and I think it really stands up for it. Everything you would imagine from the Bret Hart A grade, a very large one, is there, with the possible exception of Bret Survivor Series. Everything else you could ever for you, including some real at the time hidden gems, as match me Steamboat from the Boston Garden in 1986, match me Ted DiBiase from 1989 from Odessa, Texas, with no commentary, an alternative match, not the match from King of the Ring 93 against Bigelow, the one from Barcelona, Spain, a couple of months before. Again, pitched perfectly between all the classics and a couple that you would just not have found anywhere else. Two extras I just want to draw attention to as well. Number one, I'll get the sad one out of the way first, where he talks about some of the wrestlers who, you know, very sadly had left us way too soon by 2005, an even longer list now, of course. That one does take some getting through. But there is one very amusing extra, I think it's on disc one, where he talks about his least favourite move in professional wrestling. And it turns out to be that awful skin the cat move. Now, who had that in there?
I wonder why.
Yes, the first DVD, I'm sure you can get it dirt cheap these days. The network, the documentary itself is on the network. If you just want to sit back and watch, still in my opinion, the greatest of all time, talk about his stuff and then do it for 6 hours afterwards. Do everything you can to check out this set. So my personal favourite, one I watch once or twice a year in its entirety, Bret Hart, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be.
Wow.
Excellent.
I want to put that on now.
It is done.
I was hands up to everyone. I'd never seen the documentary. I put it on last night. And yes, the Stampede footage is a sight to behold, because it looks, the only thing that makes it look good is the footage from Germany for that Raw. that Raw looks slightly worse than Stampede, but yeah, it was hearing Bret Hart talk all the time is very interesting. A man lives in a kayfabe world, which makes it even more bizarre, pun intended, when you find out what I'm just about to talk about, how he tried to take all the shine away from Davey Boy about Wembley. He goes, oh yeah, this was meant to be, this was, everyone thought this was Davey's crowning moment, but it was actually my crowning moment. No, like, that's your brother-in-law who's like no longer with us.
It's worse in his book as well. Where he says, yeah, we did it. I did it.
Yeah, a character assassination, man. I was like, bloody hell. You're like, my criticism, everyone's criticism of him is that he takes himself and everything around him far too seriously. But there was no need for that. We know you're a hit for yourself. You're a hit man for yourself. But just leave that. Like, think of everything else that's happened in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave that the way it was. I was close to turning it off when he said that. I had a mild bit of anger running through my veins when I heard him say that. But, I mean, what else can you say? Like, it should be expected from Brett. But the match selection on it, you know, I'm not going to, you can't question that, because you could pick anything that he's in and you'll be able to, you could be filled 2, 3, 4 DVDs worth of stuff for that.
The weakest match on there, without looking, it's probably what? Nasty Boys at WrestleMania 7? And that's a solid 3. I think he probably picked that one because showing how he could drag people like that to something watchable, you know?
And it's probably the last top foundation match.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. The one thing that got me as well, that I watched it on the network, there was big bits during, so there was talking heads and then there was big bits of silence and just background music. I'm thinking to myself, I wonder who was talking there. Maybe a certain other person who may be from Canada who may or may not be talked about these days. But no, fantastic choice there, Rory.
It was a good choice. It is. Documentary, and I probably would agree it's probably the best match set they've ever done. The documentary's good, but the match set is what carries it over.
Yeah. Document, just quick, the documentary is one of those where, again, if you've seen Brett's RF video shoots, or now you've read his book that came out 2 years afterwards, you probably won't be learning a whole lot new, but it does zip by in 2 hours. You get a pretty solid perspective of it, and then you've still got 6 hours of matches to enjoy. Speaks for itself.
There's that whole part. I know what you said about the character assassination, but you know, you can almost see the 180 they had to do to accommodate Brett's side of the story into the documentary. But if Brett's going to be in it, then you're going to have to do things like that.
It comes with the territory with that man.
Exactly.
Really, really does.
The very jarring thing that I saw was the first 30 seconds where Vince comes on and thanks Brett for it, and you know he's doing it through gritty teeth. We like to thank Brett for being so gracious to do this and being one of the best ever, and I love Brett and he's the best ever. And it's like you can tell he was hating every single minute of that.
The only way you're getting this to be released is if he says this.
Yeah, that's exactly what it reeked of. It reeked of, I'll do this DVD. I'll give you my side of the story, and you will thank me for it. You old bugger.
Even though you won't turn up for the post Hall of Fame appearance at Mania the next year,
because you are quote unquote uncomfortable.
Well,
it all turned out in the end, though, didn't it?
It did. He's got one more match out of it.
Yeah, thanks. You'll notice I didn't mention that.
In fact, two, because
he got to kill Mr. McMahon off.
Yeah, US champ for a while.
I was going to say, yeah, US champ for a week. He main evented SummerSlam that year as well. 10, yeah. I tell you. See if Edge only has this one match, Bret Hart had a better return than him. Just
see. You heard it here first and last, everybody.
And not exactly
those are the views of Callum McDougall.
Not necessarily those at the Special Relations Club. let's have another DVD set, shall we? Who's going next?
Go on, Callum.
Go on.
All right. So I have chosen one that I watched for hours on end. There's a two disc release, and I watched disc one more than anything. It was my introduction to ECW. It was Mick Foley's greatest hits and misses.
Good choice.
Yep.
So, like, Mick Foley releases, much like his books, his DVDs are also 10 a penny. But this one, just, I watched disc one on this one because it had, it's got Vader at Saturday Night, the one where he asked him to break his nose. Absolute nutter that he is. Spring Stampede, it's got matches against Sabu, it's got an absolutely wild one, a tag match from November to Remember when he was in his anti-hardcore run. It's got the disc two, it's got, I'm just looking at it just now, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches of the 7 were in my top 100 GWWE. It was just, it's a fantastic DVD. It's very much set out like Scott set out his GWWE rundown. You'd have Mick Foley in the studio, he'd introduce it, he'd give a wee bit of backstory to it, he would tell you how he was feeling, more than likely in agony after the match, and then you would go into the match, he would then go, oh, what about that, then give you another rundown of the next one, and it just went at a pace. It was the, as I said, it was my first introduction to ECW. I was a bit young to be staying up for Bravo TV, as it was back in the day. I only knew of ECW through the Invasion, you know, long live the Alliance and all that. But the match rundown on this is just, it is, like, if you were picking matches to, like, yourself that you would want to watch for the rest of time, these matches would be right up there. Even the DVD extras, you've got the Sting match from Beach Blast 1992, you've got, there was another one on here, and on the second one, was there? I can't see it now. Oh yeah, so you've got both Sabu matches, you've got the Hostile City Showdown, and then you've got the rematch from, I think it was Holiday Hell, with Foley doing commentary on it, and that gives you a different insight to the match as well, because I always remember going, listen to this, and he tells who he's doing it with, it was either Coach or Michael Cole, he goes, shh, just listen to this, as Sabu swings full force with a beer bottle, and it doesn't break, and all you hear is the boom, as you can hear his brain cells dying with every hit. I cannot speak highly enough for the match listing on it. It's got blood, it's got guts, it's got everything you'd want from a Mick Foley DVD. It's even got a match from Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So where else are you going to get that other than Jim Cornette's greatest misses? I cannot speak highly enough for this DVD. I don't think it'll work anymore. There's three things that I've worn into submission. My original copy of SmackDown 2, this DVD, and Phoenix Knights.
Ah, this Phoenix Knights again.
So esteemed company it's in.
It's in good company. It's in good company.
So,
Foley's such a, that's a great choice, my man. Foley's such an avuncular host for that one. It's pitched perfect. Just pitches it perfectly with right on the line between seriousness and humour. It's the guy's got such natural candour to him. It's just perfect with this sort of, well, any sort of role. So I've often said before that Foley's too good for the pro wrestling business, and he could have been or done anything he wanted to, really. But the rest of the world's loss is our gain.
Absolutely.
Even his presenting of the DVD alone covers that, let alone the wonders contained within on discs 1 and 2.
Yeah. Because I'm just looking here. So he was very serious when he was talking about his match with Candido from Smoky Mountain, and how he said he actively stole stuff from Chris Candido. He's like, he's running away, acting, stuff like that. And then he goes on to tell how jovially how the Sandman and the match after the Texas Death match, where he wouldn't stay down because he got concussed after 2 minutes, and he was talking about how, like, it would just be like hilarious, and I'm explaining how he couldn't keep this man down. Because he kept kicking out when he shouldn't have been. So, yeah. Thanks.
Good choice. I love it.
And I want to watch that now. See, we're doing all right, aren't we? Here? Influential bunch here.
So, we'll save the best till last. Mr.
No, I wouldn't get that far. Because you guys talk so well, and I'm just not a big talker like that. Okay, so my choice is from November of 2004. It is a two-disc set. It is The Rise and Fall of ECW.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I am having that one, as we say.
So the reason I chose it is because I think it is the best of that documentary type of DVD they have ever done. The talking heads on there are varied. So you've got Heyman, you've got Taz, you've got the Dudleys, you've got Dreamer. You've pretty much got most of the big ECW people, apart from Shane Douglas, I would say. And I'm not the biggest ECW fan in the world. They don't shy away from anything. I think the only thing that doesn't really get mentioned is mass transit. Everything else does get at least a passing mention. It talks about things like the production values. It talks about things like how the Monday Night War affected it. The Philly crowd, obviously, they're not afraid to talk about the hardcore stuff, but also they give people like Eddie and Ray the props that they deserve. It covers it thoroughly. And also, Disc 2, for a company that doesn't really have that many great matches, it has, I would say, probably my favourite ECW matches on there, which is the Raven-Stevie Richards Pitbulls match.
Yep.
Let's have a look. I've got a list here in front of me. Psychosis versus Ray's on there. The Two Cold Scorpio Sabu TV title match is on there. One of the Raven Dreamer matches is on there. The Bigelow Taz match where Bigelow, you know, where they both go through the apron is on there. And yeah, it's just an absolutely fantastic set. If you haven't watched it for a while, I encourage you all to do so.
I think you're absolutely right. It's the best example of the Talking Head documentary that they've ever done.
It's the honesty I like. You know, you could tell that, you know, I mean, if you've watched the Monday Night War on the network and the Fall and Rise of WCW, there's very much a script to that. They've kind of just let these guys roam free. And, you know, for those 3 hours, or I think it is about 3 hours, it doesn't feel like 3 hours. That is the biggest compliment I can give it.
Is it? Never mind, I've completely forgot what I was going to say. Carry on. As you were.
It's an example of the, and I mean this in the best possible way, the losers writing history.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something to be said for that after all, with the success this manages to provide for its viewers over the 3 hours by doing so. I have two criticisms of it's. I still think it's from pure documentary. I still think it's the best one they've ever done, Ben. The best pure documentary. Yeah. Two minor criticisms, and they're quite specific ones. Number one, as you say, they don't really talk about mass transit. They have a section about it, but they really gloss over it. Again, it's one of those, if you didn't know, you wouldn't know. You have Devon saying that Jack beat this guy up really bad, and all Heyman talks about is mass transit, who isn't mentioned by name, falsifying his documentation. Yeah, that's not even the tip of the iceberg. And secondly,
that makes you okay, then, Paul.
It's something we do make reference to, the Sandman crucifixion angle.
Yes.
And make reference to it, but it's done against the backdrop of Kurt Angle, who popped in to do a little bit of work with them at the time, not wanting to be seen on screen with it. And we don't get the answer as to whether or not Paul Heyman had anything to do with it. The same Paul Heyman who is all over every other section of the DVD, as you can well imagine. The one where we wanted to say yay or nay, he's nowhere to be found. But those are minor, minor gripes. I really do feel like I'm there when I watch that DVD, you know? Not even before you get to the matches on disc 2, that DVD, the choice of talking heads, the selection of topics, the archive footage. It gets the spirit across in a really, really febrile way. It's fantastic set.
I'm not the biggest ECW fan by any means, but the passion that they all have for that place and that promotion, it comes through the screen, you know.
Treated with true reverence and respect, and you feel that as a viewer.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, here you go. It's a 2-disc set. Right, so I'm just on this wiki thing that I'm on here. 2-disc set became the best-selling DVD of all time, even surpassing WrestleMania 20, which I think sold an absolute barrel load.
Because it's still the biggest seller of all time.
I think so, yeah.
Deservedly so. It's no arguments here.
If I remember, and Rory will probably know better than me, wasn't this, along with RVD's influence, what got the ball rolling for One Night Stand?
I think you will find that is correct, my friend.
I thought so.
The only disappointing thing was that Rob Van Dam was injured by the time One Night Stand came along.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, that even for it to lead to WWE presenting an ECW show, that in itself is just ridiculous when you think about it. Because that was just going to be a one off. And putting aside WWE CW, that was going to be a one off because of this DVD. And that is just a ridiculous thought just now. You can't think of, if Ring of Honor was to fold tomorrow, which, you know, is fairly likely.
It's probably by the time you listen to this. Okay.
If Ring of Honor was to fold tomorrow, you'd probably sell a few DVDs based on the backlog of guys that they've got on the roster just now. You're not having a Ring of Honor reunion show in 4 years' time, or 3.5 years' time. If you think, 4.5 years' time, sorry. Which is the time frame between ECW closing and One Night Stand. That's never going to happen. In 2024, you're not having Ring of Honor One Night Stand. it's not going to happen. But, I can't remember which one of you said it. This wasn't, I think it was Rory, this wasn't a hatchet job, so many others. Like, the WCW one ended up being. They were at least treating ECW with, they've always treated ECW with a wee bit more respect than they've treated anybody else, for whatever reason.
But ECW is never true competition for them. I think that's
probably
what it is.
Yeah,
definitely.
ECW is always sort of a feeding ground for them. You know, so they were always, and I think as well, for the people they got from, so, you know, obviously, they got Austin, they got Foley, they got Heyman eventually. The guys that they were able to cherry pick from ECW to join the company, the Dudleys, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Vince McMahon would rather be Paul Heyman than Eric Bischoff.
Wouldn't we all?
And one more postscript for that DVD. Props to Bubba for going the extra mile and conducting his interviews with a black eye as well.
All right.
There you go. Our favourite things, everybody.
Yeah.
Edition one.
Yes. We did. Yeah. So I've got one honourable mention, and I'll very, very quickly say, because we were talking about this, and it was going to be sort of a very left field pick. I was going to pick for the longest time a TNA DVD.
All right.
I can hear the shock already, and it was going to be the Samoa Joe Unstoppable set.
I've not seen that.
It's a 2-disc set. I think it covers the first 8 months of his career in TNA. So you get all the X Division stuff. So straight away I'm thinking of the 3-way match. There's 2 or 3 AJ Styles matches on there. There's a Christopher Daniels match on there, and it's just amazing. And that was sort of when I was watching TNA. That was going to be my left field choice, but I thought, no, let's go here. This is a good pick.
Well, it's $14.99 on Amazon, by the way. For those of this side of the pond. Oh, new and used from £1.50. Okay, that's more like
wow.
it.
Wow. Ooh. But yeah, I recommend you pick it up if you get the chance.
I've just added it to my basket.
I've got one honourable mention as well. It is, of course, the legendary Shawn Michaels from The Vault.
Of course.
He made us wait for that one.
Like, I'm just so on the main to this DVD, it's packed with extras, right enough. Like, bulging at the seams. But the seven main matches you've got, I have got all but one in my GWWE list. I think, looking at them, I think we've all got them. I think we might all have had them. The only one that's missing is an AWA tag team title match because it was ineligible. Despite, you know, potential. there may have been some cross promotion somewhere. So you've got the WrestleMania ladder match, the Iron Man match, Diesel from Good Friends, Better Enemies, Mankind from Mind Games, the Hell in a Cell, and SummerSlam 2002.
It ain't bad, is it?
It's not. It is not bad at all.
The first Flair set as well.
That's a great one. That's another one where they were just still feeling out how to actually produce DVD. So it's weirdly edited, that one, but the quality of the match here shines through. Another one I like to watch from start to finish is the Macho Madness DVD set. And that is despite it being presented by Matt Stryker and Maria.
Oh my goodness. Another one that was a good one.
I'm amazed to do a self-destruction of the Macho Man with that. That's still the fact it was quite stale in its presentation, but it could have been so much worse. They could have done a proper hatchet job on them if they wanted to.
The one that I liked more for the matches and the documentary, but I can't bring myself to watch it. Was the Chris Benoit DVD?
Yeah.
The matches, the DVD extras on that, the matches that were on that, you've got Kevin Sullivan from Great American Bash, Booker T, and the Best of 19, whatever they had. There were some really, really good matches on there, but for obvious reasons, it's in the loft. I think probably rats have been at it when it was out, because it was out, not in the loft, it was out in the garage at one point, and it wasn't, the garage wasn't in good nick at one point, so it's not, it took a beating. Not sorry to say that.
To finish this segment, I feel the need to do this now. I'm among friends. Yeah. 2 points here on the Chris Benoit DVD. Hard Knocks we're talking about here, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
Number one, I bought it from Entertainment Exchange for only £2. Number two, I bought it from Entertainment Exchange for £2 in March 2008.
To be fair, that was probably a peak time to get it at that price.
We've got to close the book on that one there, I think.
Yeah.
More favourite things next month, everybody. We hope you enjoyed that one. Do let us know. We will tell you at the end of the show. Do let us know some of your favourite DVD sets as well.
Yes. That's excellent.
Actual correspondence.
Outreach. I've done this thing before. We have one more segment for you. We're one and a bit, really, don't we? Benjamin.
We do. Well, here's the thing, right? So I think one of you two should explain it, and our listenership will understand at the end.
I totally agree. Go on, Callum.
So looks like I'm going to be hit with the copyright infringement here. Thank you, boys. So in this fair country of ours, we have BBC Radio 4, and our TV license covers this. It also covers this wonderful show called Desert Island Discs. So basically, the basic premise is that you're trapped on a desert island. You have to take a finite amount of resources with you, be it discs that you wish to listen to, hence the name. We have liberally borrowed it. We will modified. Give it back to
modified.
Yes, we will give it back to Radio 4 at some point if they still wish to have it. But we are calling it our happy place. So you know, not a desert island, anything, because it is our happy place. We don't need to be stuck to watch it. We might just want to be stuck in our front room with these things. So
imagine a weekend where you've got nobody coming round. It's no family. The missus is away for the weekend. What are you going to do?
You have an empty. It's just you and your 12 cans of Friends.
Yes. You've got a free schedule. What are you going to do with it?
Well, do you know what you're going to do? Ben? You're going to go to your happy place.
Let's go there.
So, Ben, you're going to be first up to take us to do your happy place. So what we are picking, I believe, to take with you is, if I'm correct, 3 albums.
Yes.
A box set.
Yes.
3 films / other things to watch.
Yes.
That aren't wrestling related. You've got a book, you've got a pay-per-view, and you have 4 matches?
5 matches.
5 matches. That you wish to...
There is only...
Yes, there is 5 matches there, sorry.
There is only one rule. None of your matches can be on your pay-per-view. So you get the pay-per-view, but the matches have to be separate.
Yes, so you can pick tactically as well. There is the option for tactical picking.
You've got a full fridge. You can have whatever you want in the fridge, beer, food-wise. You've got... every takeaway menu you need. You've got photos of your family. You've got your phone. So if you want to call or text people, you can. We're not that. The only thing you haven't got is any... the only streaming service that you've got, I should say, is the WWE Network. Everything else has been taken away from you, but that is the only restriction.
That's absolutely fair enough.
We're going back to those digital versatile discs.
The digital versatile disc, and possibly even an LP.
Yes.
Although LPs are now coming back into fashion.
They are very much back in fashion.
I can't wait for a couple of years' time when my cassettes are going to come back in.
Yeah, I'm there for that one.
So, alongside that, obviously we do our gimmick for the first couple of shows before we kind of went away from that and drove everybody insane with the list, we shall call it, is that we did enjoy a live watch. So, Ben, you have chosen one of your matches to live watch alongside. Do you want to introduce that just now, or wait till you get to your matches section?
I will wait till my matches section, because that's going to be my last section.
La section, as Chris la Jericho section. Would call it.
Yes.
Alrighty, so Ben, we've taken a seat. We're in your happy place. You may begin as you wish.
Okay, so I will start with my albums, if that's okay, gentlemen.
Okay, you've got a fair record collection over in the corner there.
I'm going to go in release order, but not necessarily the order that I listened to them in. So my first album is from way back in the 70s. The 70s, ladies and gentlemen. You know, that whole weird time of hippies and tie-dye and all that. This is an album, I think it's that period of time when you're becoming a proper adult is when you first realise, or when you first start liking Fleetwood Mac. So my first pick is Fleetwood Mac and Rumours. Probably the best breakup album. Probably the best breakup album of all time, I would say. I have friends who wanted to play Go Your Own Way at their wedding, and I had to very quickly tell them no. I vetoed that for them.
Surely the clue is in the title.
Well, you'd think, wouldn't you? You would think. But I'm good. In a sec, I'm gonna have a look on Wikipedia. Let's have a look at this album. Let's have a look at this track listing, because it's unreal.
even if you're not the biggest Fleetwood Mac fan in the world. So, secondhand news, Dreams, what a song. Some of the tracks that you will know, even if you've not listened to the album. So, Dreams is on there, Don't Stop, Go Your Own Way, Songbird's on there, The Chain, or if you know that by any other way in this country, the F1 music. It's just an amazing album, absolutely beautiful. And if you ever go through a breakup, it's perfect listening. And even if you don't, it's great listening.
And obviously, it does star our favourite ESPN analyst, Stevie Nicol.
Yes, very good.
Very good.
That's exactly who's in it. Second pick. If you've listened to any of our previous episodes, you will know that we're all pretty much Britpop obsessed. I think I'm quite comfortable in saying that.
Pretty fair.
Yes.
But also, and you'd probably think I'd pick an Oasis album. It is from the Britpop era, my second album, but it is not an Oasis album. It is from Sheffield's Finest Pulp, their biggest album to date. Different class. Rory is a much bigger Pulp fan than me, but that album means so, so much to me.
A fine pick indeed, my fair fellow.
It's got Common People, it's got Misshapes, it's got Feeling Called Love on there, I Spies on there, Disco 2000 on there.
That's a great song.
Pencil Skirt, again, Monday just... Morning, Bar Italia, FeerNgCaledove.
There you go.
Brilliant.
And going back to being a kid, that album cover with the photos that you could just put in. That absolutely blew my mind as a 14, 15-year-old kid. I was like, what?
So is that how it worked? Could you put your own pictures on it?
If you wanted to.
Yep. Ah, see, I didn't. I was but a boy when this first came out.
And then my third pick. Take you back at 15 years ago, gentlemen. The Zane Lowe Show on Radio 1. I'd have it on the way back home from work, and I'd be like, this new music, even at that stage in 2005, I was like, what, this is just noise, except this one band he played, and this one song came on, and I just fell in love from that day, and it's still going on today. The song was Rebellion Lies, the band is Arcade Fire, the album is Funeral. They're a band I've seen 3 times now. Just a joyous experience every time.
Arcade Fire is one of these ones that's always been on my radar, but I've never ever taken the time to listen to. But anyone who I've ever spoke to about them says they're absolutely fantastic.
Honestly.
So I need to give that one a listen.
Yeah. They're teasing us with this. They keep putting on Twitter the fact that the album's 15 years old. So you're expecting the 15 year anniversary tour announcement to come, but they haven't done it yet, bastards. Right.
Yes. We'll be playing this album in full.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know what? You live in hope.
Okay, so the TV show I've picked. So we're allowing you one season from one TV show that you can watch over the weekend. My pick is from 1999-2000. It is my favorite TV show of all time. I make no apologies for saying that. It is Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 3. The last year in Sunnydale, the last year before they split off into Angel and Buffy. The Mayor, I think, is probably my favorite TV villain of all time. I just love that show. And like Rory said when he was talking about the DVDs in the last section, that is one I can just put on over and over again. Such high rewatchability for me, and some serious hachimachis in there.
that brings back very specific memories. Yes.
Memories like the corner of his mind, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on now, gents.
Family show.
Family show.
Family show.
What else we got?
Okay, so films. My first choice is my favourite film of all time. It is a film on my birthday, if I'm still up, I like to watch it at midnight on my birthday. I know that's very cheesy, but it's a little tradition I have. The film in question came out in 1985. It stars Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd. It is, of course, Back to the Future. It's just the best film. I can even put up with the whole incest bit. it's just the best film, and that's all I really want to say about it. My second choice, if I was to ever do Laughing Theatre, this would be my pick with a bullet. There wouldn't even be any other choice. I can't remember what year it's from, actually, but it is Old School, starring Owen Wilson, Will Ferrell, Vince Vaughn, and I think it was Vince Vaughn's his first big role as well. Just such a joyous film. One of those films, again, which is so highly quotable for me. Love it. Love it.
Oh, no, I've not seen that one myself. But if it's good, if it's got like Will Ferrell, Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn,
Snoop Dogg's in it for a couple of minutes.
Oh, but there you go.
Well, you know,
you won't be short at a laugh or two.
And then I changed it from just films to film/other. It's not. I'm going to keep the football talkers because we went on a fair bit in the last bit with football. So for me, I have picked a reminder for me of the greatest day of my life. I've not got kids. I've not been married. This day will take a whole lot of beating. It is the FA Cup semi-final DVD from 2011, Stoke City versus Bolton, when we won 5-0 at Wembley.
I miss to remember that one. Has it done me 300 quid? Thanks so much.
It was also a thing of, you know, we'd the media had beat us up, you know, the Arsenal loving media had beat us up for 3 years, and it was the day where we just threw it back in everybody's faces, and that we were actually like, yeah, we can play football, dickheads. Here you go. This is what we do.
You gonna take that, Callum? The Arsenal loving media.
I don't think it's Arsenal loving media. Who wants to see any player have his leg broken into by GBH?
Nobody wanted to see it. It was an accident. Accidents happen in football, Callum.
Yeah, accidents happen. Bolton accidentally conceding 5 goals against Stoke.
We had a player who also broke his leg the season before, but we didn't go on about it all the fucking time.
Well, do you know what? If I did something like that, what Ryan Shawcross did to Dan Ramsey that day, if I did something like that to somebody in the street, I'd be in the jail.
Well, anyway.
Callum, what's your book?
It's a happy place, not argumentative avenue. My book is one from my childhood. My favourite childhood author is Mr. Roald Dahl. My favourite book from him is Matilda. And it just takes me back to being 9 or 10. And, you know, sometimes you want just a nice, easy read. And it's just a beautiful book. He's such a great author. You know, I know people will be expecting me to pick Potter, but guess what? I fucking haven't. I've gone for somebody else.
I can't see anything. Because, like, are you going to pick a series of books? No, because if you've only got one to choose from.
Well, like, that's it.
Don't pick a series. Pick something that's, as you say, as an easy read, as a, you know,
something reasonably light-hearted.
Yes, and something that you remember and you know you're going to enjoy.
Yes.
Plus, it's a great film as well.
It is a really good film. Okay, and now we get onto the wrestling portion. So we've done the pop culture. Now it's time for the wrestling. So I'm going to first of all say what my pay-per-view pick is. And again, as Callum just said, easy watching. I don't want things that are going to be a slog to watch on my in my happy place. So I have picked from 2000. I have picked Backlash.
Yes.
Just a tremendous show. you know, it builds up the tag division. There's, I think, three tag matches on there, and they're all okay. They're all reasonably good. You've got, probably in my opinion, one of the greatest comedy matches that the company have ever done with that Big Show Kurt match. The Chris Benoit Chris Jericho match is a fine technical masterpiece, and the main event is just beautiful. I think I said in the last pod, if a Hollywood studio could make a film based around the match, this is what they'd pick. You know, the babyface vanquishing all the heels. Beautiful, beautiful pick.
Backlash 2000, yeah, one of my top 10 too. It's the WrestleMania that never was.
You got to fit Big Show and Mick in there somehow.
Did you mention, sorry, you cut out there when you were talking on my end anyway.
Oh,
did you mention the cracker that Dean Malenko and Scotty Doherty had as well?
I did not mention Malenko.
That is a hidden gem if there ever was one.
And one of the greatest finishes they've ever done as well.
Oh, sick.
The big DDT.
Oh, man.
Yes. And Eddie S.A. Rios is not to be sniffed at either.
No, neither is. No.
With Eddie in China coming back from prom.
Oh, yes. Indeed.
Yes. So it was. Brilliant.
Yeah,
but yeah, up and down, just a great, great show. And like Rory said, everything WrestleMania should have been.
Yep.
Okay.
Excellent choice.
Let's move along to the matches. We're allowing five matches. There's three WWE matches, two WCW matches. I'll leave the WCW matches till the end. I won't talk too long about the matches because three of them are from my top 10 of my WWE list. Surprisingly, the match I picked at number one does not make it. That might shock some, but I love it, but I want it, if I was going to watch matches again, I don't know whether I couldn't fit these five out. So they're not in any order, boys, so I'll just read them. So the first match, John Cena, CM Punk from Money in the Bank 2011. The reason that makes it in is because that is the match that got me back into watching wrestling on a full-time basis. I was still paying attention, but I wasn't really watching anymore. And then a friend of mine told me about the Pipe Bomb promo. And from that moment on, I was locked into this feud. The whole summer of Punk, it ended badly, but for this month or so, it was glorious.
I think the Pipe Bomb has got the same effect on people as a lot of people as the NWO Foreman has. It's a jumping in point for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. That whole month build to the Money in the Bank show. Money in the Bank very, very nearly became the pay per view pick, but I thought, well, if I could get the match, but I don't need the rest of the show, to be honest. My second pick, as has already been well established, I am a bit of an NXT nerd. So therefore, I have picked what was my highest ranked NXT match from my GWE list. It was Sasha Banks and Bayley from Brooklyn in 2015. Let's go back to those days 5 years ago, when we were sitting through Bella's versus Naomi week after week after week after week after fucking week after week after week after fucking week. You get the point. This match is half an hour of great storytelling. It's very rare a match makes you cry before the match starts. Bayley with her Dusty Rhodes tribute did that for me. I will happily admit that. The match itself is fantastic. Everything from that finishing sequence from the reverse Rana onwards. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning when that happened here. I was jumping up and down, and I don't care. How old was I 5 years ago? 33, and I don't care. That match got me wrapped in, and you get the whole curtain call bit at the end as well.
Beautiful, beautiful storytelling all the way through.
Lovely job, boy. Yeah, it's you've said you put it perfectly in the last episode, and you've put it perfectly again there. So.
Thanks. I try.
Yeah, very well.
Okay, and then my final pick is one I think Mr. McNamara will very much appreciate. It is a very long match, but you've got to have a very long match in sometimes. But it doesn't feel like a very long match, and it is the Royal Rumble 1992. It's a match you can watch over and over again. It is a match with the most quotability, I think, on commentary that you'll ever have. Ric Flair really proved he was a 60-minute man that match that night. I think as well, you know, for that snapshot of that era as well, because the whole, you know, the golden era, that late 80s era, were winding down. The new generation was coming in. It just, 92 is like that great merger of them two eras before they split apart again. It's just a beautiful match. The storytelling in it is so well done. And, you know, like I say, you can't say enough good things about Bobby and Gorilla and commentary.
I can.
Oh, okay.
Blatant racism. As I said the last time.
Yes.
Yes, it's a kilt.
You skirt wearing freak.
Well, have you ever worn a kilt?
I have not. I've never had that pleasure.
You will. The only thing that's slightly difficult for it is if you want to go to the toilet. But other than that, they're cozy, but breezy. They're extremely comfortable.
Oh my!
But I would recommend it to anybody.
Okay, so the last two matches are from WCW. They are going to be two of my top three matches when it comes to the GWCW project. My first pick from Halloween Havoc 1997, Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio. I know other people will know this. I don't know if they wrestled on the big stage like this before this show. But it's just two styles and two workers on one night mixing together. They tried it so many times after, but they could never reach the perfection that they did on this night. That DDT spot is beautiful. The Rana on the outside, the flip Rana on the outside is amazing. And it's one of those matches where Bobby and Dusty are on commentary and they're not making fun of the cruiserweights. They're actually into the match, and that tells you how good it is.
Yeah, love that pick. More on that to come in 12 months' time, no doubt. Yeah, fantastic. I love it. Glorious match.
And my final pick of this whole thing is the match we are going to watch. When the GWCW project got first mentioned, I said this match was going to be my number one. Nothing has changed my mind on this yet. I use that word yet. It is from Slamboree 1994. It is Cactus Jack and Kevin Sullivan versus the Nasty Boys. And it's a match I absolutely adore. It's a match I adore because it's a match WCW don't usually do. That is why I love it so much.
Shall we watch it?
Shall we?
He said, apropos of nothing.
That is good. That is good. Segwaying, I like that.
Shall we all go to Slamboree 1994, 2 hours and 5 minutes exactly on the network? Shall we do that?
Oh, yeah, 2 seconds.
With Jerry Sags glaring like only Jerry Sags can. Well, only Jerry Sags would want to, I'd imagine.
Can you give me 8 seconds?
Preparation.
Well, I like it.
Rory's always well prepared. We should know that.
Right. So that's yes. Oh dear goodness. Jerry Sags is pout.
Pout is the word, isn't it? Yeah.
That is a very good pout. That is a very good pout on Mr. Sags.
Well, that's a better picture than seeing his tag team partner than yesterday.
No, we don't mention that.
Twice. We are a family show.
We are a family show, but even that doesn't get mentioned.
You can see Brian Jobs. It's a Freudian slip. Brian Knobs there. Front on, that's good enough for me. Thank God for that. If you don't know what we're talking about, then you're the lucky one.
Yeah, I know.
205 exactly, I am on, gentlemen.
Are we there?
I am on there too, yes.
For this one, Ben. Bring it home, your happy place.
So my number one GWCW match, my last selection of my happy place, it is from Slamboree 1994, Cactus Jack and Kevin Sullivan versus the Nasty Boys in 3, 2, 1. Pray.
Oh, there's the line. Yep, just stay that side, please.
Here we go. We ain't wasting any time. Look at that.
Straight in. No messing.
We have a guest referee for this match.
We do. I can't remember the guy. It's Dave Schultz, I think, if yes, I remember rightly.
Dr. D.
He is a Philadelphia-based ice hockey player.
Well read. Yeah.
So not the guy who punched the journalist guy.
No, not that one.
No. Peter Winston will be proud of my ice hockey knowledge.
I was just going to say, Peter Winston's job safe, I think. is that hat guy in the front row?
Hat guy.
In Philadelphia. And as I would call him, hat guy social worker next to him, the one who looks like Des Lynam.
I believe you'll find he's a Philadelphia Flyer. That's the team.
You're doing the research.
I do watch some. I don't mind ice hockey.
So 30 seconds in already, we've got a nice big chair to the back there, and Cactus is dressed for the occasion, is he not?
WCW is too tough for Hulk Hogan sign there. You have no idea, pal.
This is the last show before the Hulkster comes in.
Kevin Sullivan, they're dropping to his knees and being choked, as a certain Miss J. Smith looks on approvingly.
TV me.
You know, she was off to. Yeah, drop kick by the boy Sullivan. Hello. Who's been teaching him new moves?
He's learned some moves. Mm-hmm. I like how Dave has gone off to where these two boys are.
I'll extinguish the back. So Ben, when did you first see this match? When and where? Do you remember when that was?
I think it was sometime in the early 2000s.
There's a picture of Brian Knobs I don't want to see.
too close for comfort based on what we were not
absolutely.
To mention.
Absolutely.
Obviously, we didn't get the WCW pay-per-views.
We did not.
You know, we got Worldwide on ITV. I remember that was my exposure to WCW. And then, obviously, in later years, we got Nitro on TNT. Pay-per-views, I can't remember if it was on somebody's DVD. You know, going back to the DVDs, I can't remember if it was on somebody's set. And that's how I watched it.
So I've never seen this match before. I've seen the Stampede one, but I've never seen this one.
So this one's just even crazier and even more out of control than the Stampede one, and that's why I love it so much.
So what's the story behind this one? Because obviously Max Payne was at Stampede.
Yeah. So basically there was a three-way. It was basically like a three-way feud for the tag title. So Nasty Boys are the champions.
Yep.
It was Cactus Jack and Max Payne and Evad, I think it was just Dave at that stage, Dave and Kevin Sullivan, where Dave wasn't quite the Hulk, obviously wasn't the fun-loving Hulkamaniac he turned into. The Nasties managed to injure Max Payne and Dave, so therefore it merged the two teams together. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend and all that. I mean, look at Buffer there. Buffer's like, get me out of here now.
Give me my $7,000 and that'll do me fine.
Not a bad gig if you can get it, is it?
Buffer's off now. There he goes. He's turning his back on this one.
But I think the reason I just love this is because it is so different. It is not the WCW norm. That is one of the major reasons I love it so much.
We talk about it a lot these days, but this is definitely a living example of knowing your audience, is it not?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where absolutely. This one is taking place. I should say as well, there was a newspaper report a couple of days before this, something like Philadelphia was the most hostile city in the US or something like that. I know, perish the thought. And there was a chant during one of the matches earlier. I think it was the first match the crowd started chanting, "We're not hostile." to the point where even Tony recognised it. And they proved that during the main event of this pay-per-view by chanting very loudly, "Sting must die." Everything you heard about Philly fans in the 90s, yep, it's true.
Well, you know, there's no wrestling holes to speak of. It's just it's chaos, and sometimes chaos is all you need.
Into the ring, look at that.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that AEW is getting right. They've ramped right up against the ring. Just the one that goes right along at ring level.
Oh.
Literally, the only thing missing, and it's because it is WCW, is the lack of blood. You know, there might be some hard way blood coming, but that is...
Foley's definitely got something around the forehead there.
But no, it's just beautiful. I could... The rewatchability of this match is so big for me.
I mean, there's no letting up, is there? It's just violence.
No. They don't stop. They don't stop.
They've beat... Bastard.
Foley is a crazy motherfucker. Shock horror.
But, like, it's so violent that they've turned a trash can into basically a baking sheet. It's completely flat.
Flat as a pancake, isn't it?
Oh, Jesus.
I forgot about this.
Jesus. There's a tripod in the match and Colonel Robert Parker's nowhere to be seen.
Going all the way back to Special Relations Episode 1.
But no, if you'd have honestly have told me, like, Kevin Sullivan... I mean, I said it in the chat a couple of months ago when we first started. He's not just going to have one match in the top 10. He's going to have two. And that is just a crazy thought. The guy you don't think of having good matches, and he's going to have two matches in my top 10.
I take it as this one and the Benoit from Great American Bash.
Yeah.
But that's like thingy. That's like Rory having in his top 10 a match including the Road Warriors and Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
That is true.
As aptly pointed out by the man.
You've got to give credit where it's due. Especially when it's got very little to do with them. As I said, last month, they played their part in that. They'll never have me give them any credit ever again. The thing is, I often complain this style of match, just hitting each other with stuff, and that's what they're doing here, but the feel is different, because in May 1994, in a mainstream setting, you weren't getting any of this, mate.
But there's a reason for it as well.
Well, outside of Sorky Hall Street, obviously. And there's a reason for that as well, I'm sure. Yeah.
No, not really. Not often.
Yeah, it's not just gratuitous, is it?
No, it's like so they're having a street fight or whatever. Was it a broad street bully match
to give it? Yes.
So. But they're having it because these guys just want to kill each other. They're not having a false count anywhere match because, you know, that's the next logical step.
It's that time of year to have.
Yeah. Like, we're not having a false count anywhere match because, we've had every other type of match and we want to see Baron Corbin get pinned on the top of a baseball dugout.
Did you not like that?
I thought it was quite good, but it's, you know, that's what it is. The best part was when Corbin gets stuck in the portal.
There we go.
This match seems a lot longer than its running time, and that's a plus, by the way.
It is.
So fucking much into this, it doesn't even get to double figures in time. It's amazing. that is high praise as I can give to any Nasty Boys match.
And look at the crowd. Like that bottom tier, they're all standing. A bomb to you.
No pinball attempts in this one yet, by the way.
No.
I would be all over this if I was in that crowd. I'd be loving every single minute of this.
Doug Dillinger, just get out the way, mate. Don't mess with the ref.
Yeah.
Well, again, heat of great moustache comes great responsibility.
Oh, there we are.
Oh, Hat Guy's loving it.
Oh, it's a proper hockey fight as well. Top over the head.
This'll do it.
Was it.
A nice quick four count there and we're out.
And a wee kick at the end as well. Just have that.
Mike Tyson was taking notes, whatever he was at this time.
And like Rory, like Rory says, it doesn't overstay its welcome. It's just beautiful, beautiful violence. That's the only way I can describe it. Beautiful violence. It was.
Arguing. Great pick, my friend.
Oh, Jesus, man. I don't think he held back that fucking right.
Yeah,
hand.
I felt that one.
Oh.
How dare you call it a pout?
Yeah. He was... And here comes the other two, and
this race, oh, is not. Oh, here
he is,
Man Mountain Rock himself. This ref has no idea what's happening. He's like so out of his comfort zone. It's unbelievable. And this is a man who like fought with people for a living, and then played hockey at some point.
On ice.
Yeah.
Max Payne with the pop of the night.
I'm getting an Otis Dozovich vibe off of Max Payne just now. Don't know why.
Good old Otis. Love Otis.
And there he's chasing his own Mandy Rose up the ramp there.
Never ever make that comparison.
Have we just compared Brian Knobbs to Mandy Rose? Oh, here's Dave.
And here comes Sonya. or Dolph Ziggler.
That's even worse.
Well, he could be Thingy. He could be Dolph. He could be better here. I'm all over the dozer right now. I think it's... I cannot wait until... That's a match I'm looking forward to at WrestleMania. Otis against Dolph.
If they have it.
Oh, they have to.
Well, they've got 15, 16 matches lined up. Well, I suppose they could fit another one in.
There they go. That's a nice shot there. There we go.
There we go. And there you go, gentlemen. And yeah, so what was that? About 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
In, out. Beautiful.
In, out in 10 minutes.
Doesn't outstay its welcome, and I would quite happily have watched that for a bit longer.
That's what I think.
And like I say, I know it's controversial for it to be my number one WCW match. But if I'm thinking if I'm just thinking WCW, it's like that was the first match I thought of, and I was like, nothing's going to take that off number one. And I had to watch it again just to make sure it wasn't like, you know, 10 years ago opinions clouded my judgment. That's going to be number one. It's just going to be a case of where number two to 100 are at the moment.
Thank you for sharing it with us.
You're right.
Yes, thank you.
Again. Definitely be in my top 100.
Well, if there's nothing else good has come from the last four episodes.
Comparing Dave Sullivan to Sonya Deville.
Right.
It was because we were talking about Mandy, and then a tag team partner comes out. I'm not saying that Sonya Deville are anything alike. Because Sonya Deville could quite easily kick my arse. Conrad Thompson couldn't, but Sonya Deville could. No, if nothing else good has come from it, is that phone number no longer active. Thank God for that. I would have just phoned that. You've given me some excellent match recommendations.
Thanks.
No, I'm still watching it and it's saying 1-800-4-WCW now. I'm like, oh, number no longer active. I'm like, oh, thanks for that. I was just about to go and phone it.
That says WCW is too tough for Hulk Hogan.
Just you wait, pal.
He's got news for you, so.
Just give it another month.
Just you wait.
If only they listen to him, though. I think it's wrap time.
Yes, Ben, thank you for inviting us into your happy place.
Brilliant. Thank you. You were right, anytime.
There are plenty of snacks and things available.
We'll be around.
Oh yeah, so that was good fun.
Proper show.
I feel good about it.
Me too.
So shall we do this again?
Oh, I think we should, If they'll have us.
I don't know. Like we might have alienated everybody by not talking, like by promising something and then not delivering. We've actually delivered it this time.
We have.
For the first 7 minutes.
those obscure 1970s football references will be fine.
Yeah, no one's listening to this bit now anyway, so. Yes, they are.
Right, well, so we don't keep the good people away from the rest of the day, shall we? Shall we call it a night, chaps?
Oh, that sounds a good idea to me.
All right. So, Ben, have you got any unpopular opinions forthcoming?
So, hopefully, by the time you hear this, there will be two columns out. One will be about AEW Revolution. Two will be a bit more retro, something about WrestleMania. You can reach me individually on Twitter at BenL1981. You could reach the show at PTBN Special Rel 1. At PTBN Special Rel 1. We welcome all comments, good or bad. We're just going to ignore the bad ones, we'll be honest. But any feedback is good. Anything you've heard that you want to comment on the show, we'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much.
I always look forward to your unpopular opinions now, Ben, because if you're going to start claiming that something isn't as good as somebody thinks it is, then you're always going to get people riled up about Cena versus Umaga from a couple of weeks ago.
what is going to be a sort of a negative one? One's going to be quite positive. So there we go. That's the preview.
I'll look out for it. As long as you give me a sneak preview.
Yes.
So, Roy, anything from yourself coming up? And
as I teased earlier, you might be hearing something brand new from me on the PTBN Wrestling feed. Who knows? You might even have heard it by the time this show goes out. Some information, at the very least, will be coming your way in the next couple of weeks. So keep them peeled, as they say, ear to the ground and all that. Other metaphors are available. Best place to reach me these days is indeed the aforementioned PTBN Twitter feed. Just draw my attention to it. I'll be there. I'm lurking all the time. And thanks very much for listening.
Yes, thank you indeed for listening. I have been Callum McDougall. You can reach me at Callum7McDougall on the Twitter. I also have access to at PTBN Special Rel 1, where I have started my tweeting by reaffirming my comparison between John Cena and James Milner, from those who understand said comparison. But that is enough.
Your comparisons have been so good.
John Cena and James Milner.
Sonya
Brian Knobbs and Mandy,
Mandy
Rose. Mandy.
Dave Sullivan and Sonya.
That was only a tag team partner comparison. The real comparison is Mandy Rose and Brian Knobbs. I'll leave that one with you as to why they're the comparison. So, answers on a postcard. Why
is that? Sleep well, everybody.
Yes. Answers on a postcard. Why that's the comparison. Until next time, from the theaters. Thanks so much for.